301. I think Steve did it last time, so I could do like the latest one.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Monica, if you want to take the roll.
Eric?
Present.
Eric White?
Present.
Alexis Federico?
Present.
Alex Maslin? Robert McDonald?
I'm here.
Michael Radigan?
Present.
Stephen Vargas?
Here.
And Stephanie Wayne?
Present.
We have four.
Right into public comments. I don't think we have any. Is anything written?
No.
Nobody online?
Okay.
OCFAC meeting scheduled, so let's see if we have any discussion about the schedule that we sent out next year. Question. It's an attachment in what we emailed out, but it's not on this. Oh, okay. All right.
Yes, you have it. I don't want it.
Oh, don't worry. But I'm going to go like try. We're staying very fast. I'll abstain. So. You just read it. Yeah, let's read through it.
I got it here. So we got January 10th, March 13th, May 8th, June 12th, July is dark, August 14th, October 9th, November 13th, and December is dark.
Any further discussion? People think that works?
I mean, I think it works. And what I would like to see, and we don't have to do this today, but maybe everyone show up to the next meeting. So we had discussed the location of where we wanted to do this and trying to get out within the community. So maybe everyone can pick a recommended location or district that would have the capability to host these meetings. Like I know like most city halls have the capability to do that.
Or a community center.
Or a community center or something like that. Yeah.
We used to do them in city halls.
Yeah.
City council. Yeah. City council chambers and stuff like that. Yeah. We used to do that. And community centers. And all
so
that.
Maybe we can each like just take on the opportunity to propose, just clear it and see in advance. Like we don't have to get specific dates at this point, although we could maybe get some a list of the dates and say, and you know, because that way we can make go with the discussion and an action item. At our next meeting to adopt and then publish the locations in advance.
I mean, it would be nice for each district to maybe host it.
We used to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So
there has to be a public building, public place.
Well, you know,
you can't pay for it, is the main thing.
Well, for example, like an American Legion or something.
Well, you know, that works. American Legion or BFW.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once they got a bar. But we did the American Legion down at Dana Point one time.
Yeah, except as Claudia points out, it's just got to be a public meeting has to be open to the public.
Oh, yeah. As long as they got parking and stuff.
Free parking, I think, is
it's not a requirement.
Yeah, free parking.
Yeah. Okay.
Free parking and then obviously ADA accessible.
Okay.
So, because I think that's actually in our bylaws.
We need to make a motion to accept this, accept the
Please.
Dates. Okay, I'll move that we accept the upcoming dates for the year 2024.
No further discussion, right?
I'm sorry, Eric. Second,
Eric. Second.
Yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Bobby, do you want to stay?
No, I'm just
trying to be contrarian.
Before we go to election office, I'd like to can I interject a point of personal privilege here? I had developed a little logo. Oh my goodness! But 8, 10 years ago. And all of a sudden now I'm seeing that logo in the street and as a little pin. It says Orange County Veteran Arts. And I don't have one. I'm going, something I created, I haven't seen. I mean, I've got some shirts and I got some jackets and stuff that says, but I'm seeing people in the community with an Orange County Veterans pin. I'm trying to figure out where they came from. And I'm quite sure none of us have.
I have one.
Well, you're the chair.
So, I get it.
We're on the should we have some for our own to pass out and stuff like that?
If they're the ones I'm thinking of,
it's Orange County Veteran.
Yeah. Oh, slightly different one. Okay, oh. I have one of those too, but the county made them, and I know Eric gave them out when staff our job fair 2 years ago.
Let me do it. If you get where I'm going with this, okay, we're only supposed to be representing veterans, but the supervisors. We don't have one, but they're passing them out to the community. Help me understand.
And so what you would like that we have to give out when we attend events.
I mean, I'm trying to make it as clear as mud, okay?
Okay. Well, let's entertain that in new chair at our next meeting, but I think it's a good point.
Yeah, wait that long? I mean, they've got to be in the building somewhere. Miss Claudia.
Somebody's drawing.
First I hear about it, so I'm taking note of that.
Marine Corps birthday, and everyone starts talking about now raiding offices and taking pins. And
you can say approximately 2 years ago around.
But I don't know. I think they ran out, actually.
No.
I don't know if they ran out or not. All I know is I saw one the other day. Actually, a couple of people have, and I'm going.
I can clarify the request. So you've seen a pin that says Orange County Veteran, and we believe that the county with the county logo on it that they handed out. And we're just wondering if there's any more, and if there are plans to make any more, and if so, would it be possible for us to get them and to hand out?
Right, so we had. And so that's something we'd like to make. So let's add that to the action minutes that we made that request to find out from the Veteran Service Office and the Office of Aging if they happen to have them, or if they know where they were made, or just report back on that for us, you know, in January.
BSO have a coin? I mean, that's a big.
Well, I mean, no,
we was something in the Army we did.
Yeah, we don't have a coin, but we did have, like I said, back in the old days when I was chair, we had shirts, we had all of them.
The BSO does have.
Oh, yeah, they do have.
Yeah, okay. And I'm not sure. The question is, as a council,
as a
council,
I feel like it would be, we would be like in the commander status where we would need to purchase our own if we wanted.
Well, like the chair, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, sure. But I agree.
Yeah.
I'll get right on.
I'll
try and finish before the end of my term.
Before we get too sidetracked.
Yes.
From this. So I guess, Claudia, I think our request is for these pens, like what kind of swag does the...
It all depends on not knowing the history of, you're right, how they were purchased and with what funds. And those are the things that it depends.
Maybe
it didn't come strictly from us. Was it county funds? Was it other grant funds?
Oh, yeah.
I'll look into it, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, see if there's...
Clearly.
Because then maybe if we can do some fact finding.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the one who developed the dampers. The logo.
Trademark it?
Why? It's county.
I think the question is, those pins seem pretty cool. If we could, or any that exist, if not, then maybe you can let us know. And then maybe one of us makes a request or put something on the agenda at the next thing to ask the county to purchase.
Yeah. I just think really my feelings got hurt because somebody showed me something. I said, don't you have one of these? You don't have this?
Stephanie, one other issue before we move on to election. I just didn't see. So I think we're supposed to formally approve the action minutes from last time. And now that it's not on the agenda, I don't think we can do it. I think we have to formally approve them next time. Right? Because I don't think we're allowed to take any action.
To the next agenda.
So if we could put that in the action minutes that for the next thing, we need to approve.
Both.
Yeah, we need to approve both. Yeah, November and October. Yes. I just didn't want to get that lost because normally we would approve the minutes first.
Anything else significant before that people want to get off the table before we go on to the big business nominations?
Stephanie, you had mentioned we wanted to make some edits, not just the minutes, but there was something else that we didn't catch when we were
talking. Yeah, it was actually adding that to these minutes.
That's right.
On the committee, it says BSO Metric Standing Committee. It should be Ad Hoc Committee.
Correct.
It's
which, I mean, we've already published it, so we'll just make sure correct.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and open it up for nominations. And I'd like to begin by, so we only have two positions to elect today, chair and vice chair. And traditionally, we open it up with the chair first and then the vice chair. And I would like to take this point personal privilege of making the first nomination. And I would like to nominate our current vice chair, Alexis, to serve as chair.
Second.
John, I think. Second. Great. Other nominations for chair? Discussion? Once, one, twice. Okay. So pretty much elected by acclamation, but let's take the vote. All in favor of Alexis Federico taking over as chair? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Alexis. And I know you're really busy, but I also know that you've been really busy and doing a great job. I know you'll do a phenomenal job. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Vice chair.
I would actually like to be vice chair. Alexis, have plans and our plan as a team.
Thank you for saving me the trouble of nominating two of the people, because I would have nominated you as well. That's great. Other nominations? Discussion? No discussion. All those in favor?
I vote today.
Okay, we'll just go through the other items on the agenda. So we've asked Eric to serve on this committee on DSO standing metrics. I know that that's something that both Alexis and Steve have had an interest in. So I hope you can report back. And I think it'll be a really big help. You know, that'll be up to you all working with them next month. Or as it was in January.
On that, so Eric, you were at the presentation yesterday. So there was a lot of metrics that the supervisors stated.
Yeah.
So I just like to know.
Right. Because liars figure and figures lie.
So
we'll get to the bottom of it. Yeah.
And another metric that I didn't know about, I was surprised to say that we just hired two BSOs. When did we hire last two BSOs?
Correct. That was the same question.
Oh, okay.
We did hire two BSOs.
But was it 2 years ago or was it last month?
We had Elena Kim. She left. We had George Dixon. He left. And then now we've got Eric.
No, he was saying that they staffed two new positions.
Staff two people. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That might have been a little bit of a mistake. Maybe they hired a claims rep and a new VSO, or maybe two new claims reps.
Yeah.
I think the statement is not necessarily to take what came out of their mouths for facts, and then we'll come back to this, obviously.
Yes. I just like to validate what they said. Just because that's a good start.
They know that that's a point of personal privilege. I'm sorry I didn't make it yesterday, but I run a business called Black Chamber of Commerce in Orange County, and one of my major sponsors is Edison, and they called for a meeting at 8 o'clock yesterday morning in Rosemead. That's where I was.
I just want to say, so we, and not to correct you, Stephanie, but I just want to make sure. So the VSO ad hoc committee. So I don't think it's an ad hoc committee, not a standing committee. So who else is on the, Eric is chair. Who else is on the standing? I mean, I'm sorry, the VSO ad hoc committee.
Yeah.
We need more than one person.
Said it was Steve, and then that's the question.
Because he wasn't here, we volunteered him.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Because me and John were already down this one committee, so I didn't know that. So.
Would it be more efficient to discuss this like holistically, because we've got three standing committees and one ad hoc, and I think we're supposed to have three people on each standing committee, right?
Yeah, ideally.
And so I know we're one, two.
That was our recommendation. Standing committee.
Well, there's only two standing, one ad hoc.
Right.
It's confusing because we keep screwing up the terminology.
But I just want to make sure I'm looking at the bylaws now that we do this correctly. Each council should serve on at least one standing committee. I thought quorum was defined somewhere. Anyway, the point is, I think we should get holistically the whole committee thing worked out here.
I thought it was more than.
Yeah, and I didn't think we were bound
to that. Okay.
Yes, you know.
I think we need more than one.
Yes,
yeah, two.
That's
fine.
It's fine. Two is fine.
Okay. So two on each then? And that should, because there's eight of us, so then that would be.
So can we, since we're starting the year, can we commune our own GSO metrics, right?
Are you still considering yourself on events as well?
So
I can jump in on events.
And are Michael, are you still going to do events?
Sure.
Are you still willing to be chair?
Yep.
Okay, so Stephanie and Michael on events, and then.
And communications, I'll just take the chair role.
Okay. Do we have anyone else?
I just needed. I needed the conference.
You're looking at me. I'll be on communications. I don't have a problem with it.
Would that be?
You okay with that?
It would be honored.
Both be honored.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Bobby, everyone comes to you first.
That's right.
I feel it makes sense.
I feel it will be a learning opportunity serving this bond.
So it's Stephanie.
You have no idea.
I'll just take a minute. We're still on action item number one.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out that the Heroes Fall event, I can't be there because I'm on medical leave from Heroes Fall. But I think the two most important things I think we've done since I've been on the board, or on OTAC, have been the letter that we promoted on LGBT discharge reform. We revisited that recently. And I'll give you an update in a minute on that. But the other thing was the pullout from Afghanistan happened. Those of us who were on the board, a lot of you served in Afghanistan and Iraq. And I'm very conscious that most of you did. And I'm also very conscious that I don't think people understand how difficult it is for veterans in. Because veterans are such a small portion of the population now, you know, when I was younger, everybody's dad had served, you know, and your mother, her brother served, and her father had served. And that isn't true anymore. And I think it's an untold story that we haven't figured out how socially isolated the veteran experience is. So if any of you can make it, I wish to be a part of that. I hope you'll do it. I can't be there. So that's going to be 2 at Heroes Hall, 2 p.m. on Saturday. If you can make it.
Be there and I'll bring a junior as well.
You can get a second.
I'm going to get some students to come with me as well. Let's see if I can get some.
That would be outstanding. Yeah.
I've signed up.
You're going to do that. Okay. If I, it's up to that place. So if you're up early, around 11, before 11 o'clock, and you're near the city of Anaheim, at 11 o'clock at the city of Anaheim, there will be a Veterans Day program right by the museum right there. And the keynote speaker is our chair.
Yeah.
Obviously,
of course.
So.
I'm doing what?
You're speaking too.
Well, I'm just the MC. Yeah, I'm just the MC. I'm just the MC. That's all.
So,
solo.
If I could, Stephanie, thank you, Bobby. Appreciate it, as always. So for the annual, I think this is, you said falls under the annual report. Is that what we're talking to the executive committee? Because is that what we're talking about these events, right? So I can certainly, as chair, work with the executive committee and maybe compile a list of these events. I don't know if we need an ad hoc to do it.
I think that's
committee.
You want to
that's
do
what
it?
Our
okay.
committee
oh. Okay, I'll work with you guys.
Is that going to come under
yeah.
the communications or events and outreach?
Events. You're the one.
Well, it just says create ad hoc. So we can give it to the events committee.
Yeah.
Michael, if you want to do that. And then maybe we could all.
Which events are you trying to push together?
The bylaws require that we have a list of all the veterans events that are annual. And specifically, I think the Veterans Day events. So we should be able to report that out to the supervisors. That's one of the few things they really ask.
Well, but weren't you talking about the annual meeting?
I was talking about the annual report of council.
Talking about two different pieces.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
about the annual report.
So the annual report of council, I think.
That's by
law.
Read it, would you please?
Yeah. So sorry, subsection. So Article 3, subsection C. says the council shall submit to the county an annual report of council activities by February 1st of each year, which is different than creating and maintaining a list of veterans events, which I know the two have been done conjunctively in the past. But I'm wondering I think what we could do is maybe kind of combine them, right? Like how you get a list
for back, one is looking forward.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think
here's what we did. Here's the outcome.
It's technically, if you put the last year's events, I mean, last year's report, then that's a skeleton for what we're going to do this year. Most of this stuff go bad.
But for instance, I think you're pointing out that we made some recommendations about bylaws changes.
Yeah.
We made the post 9/11 LGBTQ discharge upgrades. Those are things that fall within the purview of an annual report in my mind, rather than just like a list of events, which
why don't you and I work together on?
Okay. Let's work together.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. One's based on outputs and the other one is what we think a skeleton of what we're going to be doing next year.
Look, this is kind of bare minimum. If I was on the board of supervisors, I would want to know what is my OCVAC doing? What are they doing? Not just like what events they're going to, which is an element of that. Like, are they representing the community? What are they doing? But also like, what are they doing? Are they, because I'm sure, and this was enlightening for me, but working with Claudia and Renee to get things on to their, a lot of times there's stuff that can be placed on consent calendars or stuff that's tucked in. I mean, they get big packets. And so they may look at it and say, okay, but this is an opportunity to be like, here's how we're working. This is what, these are meaningful actions that we're taking or that we took this year just to give them a report. And I think it also kind of keeps us in check. Like, what are we doing? We need to report every year. I don't know if someone has a different interpretation, but this is something that I would assume.
I think that's the way it should be done, and I'm happy to cooperate with you. Like, I think it makes most sense if you and I write that.
Executive committee, which is the two of us and the past chair, can all do that, maybe seek input from the events committee and work on it.
And I do want to suggest one thing. I think it's a great document if we put some effort into it and it can really convey some of the things we want to convey. But the question is it going to get read on the sixth floor? And the reality is, it is. What you do with it matters, because just the reality of that floor is that they're very busy. They're managing a now $9 billion budget. And so it's we should think in advance about how we want to make sure it gets attention.
Right. Like, we can all email it to our individual supervisors. In addition, like sending it up the official chain, there's nothing stopping from us from being like, hey, I know we set the annual report. I just want to flag it for you. And if they,
that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Before COVID.
I don't think it's affected to next COVID.
Yes, I like the way.
That's totally
he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two brutal. Number two and number three. Okay. Anyway, if one of you can feel the question, back before COVID. All right. I took the responsibility on to have that report done, and I broke it down for each one of the districts. All right. And so it gave each one made the presentation at the Board of Supervisors meeting, either got it on the calendar or I did it doing public comment. So that way I get it done before 3 minutes and I'm out of there. And they all had a copy of it. And it broke it down. I broke it down with some of the stuff we've done together with Veterans Day, Memorial Day, those kinds of things. And then broke down what was happening in each one of the districts, where we were going, what we did, and laid it out. And I'd be glad to send you a couple copies so you'll have a roadmap. All right.
And not a bad idea also getting in doing that during public comment.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. And I'll be glad to be a silent assistant if you'd like to have some help. Okay.
I think I had that. I do have a little bit more on my committee report, but
so, Alexis, do you want us all to email you initially anything that done in regards to veterans? Just leave yourself a compiler.
I think what I would like is for you guys to email Michael, because I would like from him a list of, you know, events, and we can put it as a appendix or compendium or something, and then highlight specific events within the report and just attach it for them.
Great idea.
And then if we want to also use this as an opportunity, because we have until February to work on this. So if we want to use this as an opportunity to also use it to submit, it just says create and maintain a list of veterans events. It doesn't actually say distribute it to the Board of Supervisors.
Or as we discussed, distribute it so that it's carried on the collaborative's website.
Right, exactly. So, you know, one of the things too, we can discuss whether we want to use this, I think, maybe just to report on past events and then also kind of separate this. We've got to find a way to get the future events to the
board. It's like their executive admin staff just put it on their team's calendars. They can accept or decline it if they want. For future events. We submit our list and then just have them
create. Discuss what that would look like, right?
Yeah.
If we probably want it to go directly to our calendars and crowd that.
Like stuff's not on my calendar, it doesn't happen.
Right.
So if you push it out, they can decline the meeting if they want, but at least they're aware of it. It's marked on their calendar. It's going to increase the possibility that they actually attend or participate.
Is there someone, so this is a process question for you, because this just says create and maintain, right? So this doesn't say like we have an annual report of things that we've accomplished, but not consider. And now with the age of like you've got the collaborative that keeps an amazing event. They've got amazing staffers that are really in the know. And again, as Bobby pointed out, a lot of these cities and stuff have the same events every year, like Veterans Day and things like that. I mean, I'm wondering, is there a focal point for administrative purposes, like a staffer that you can, would it be appropriate for you to ask, like, do you guys want us to give, to push this information to you as a collective board? Or is this something that we should work with our individual supervisors and push information at that level.
So that would be a good question for us to follow up and gauge the interest of the supervisors, because where one likes, you know, to know it all, mm-hmm. others may not, mm-hmm. or might be a little bit, some even ask us, are very proactive
uh-huh.
in reaching out to us on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Give us anything that's happening in community events within the district, and others may not. Okay. So it'll be definitely an open discussion to reach out to gauge what would be the best, because each supervisor might want it.
Yeah, because I didn't know if there was a central staffer that was like, we can give it and they can go that way, or if they want us, because we can maintain a list of everything and then we can push it for those of us that are appointed by, for individual districts, can push that to our supervisors, yeah. right? Which I think is different than the, because a lot of events are not planned a year out. So if we're in mm-hmm. February, we're talking about events and stuff. And so I think part of Michael, what like in Stephanie, the events committee, maintaining that list of events and then being able to push that to individual supervisors. So
that's why I always liked about the idea of a calendar on the website and being able to be able to at least update it every couple months so that there is at least a reference for the public as well as the elected officials. And again, you know, the left and right limits of what can we promote, what we can't. I know what I do is when I receive the PDFs from the VSO's office, I actually push that out to VFW and they throw that into an email blast. So that's something playing with from a communication standpoint, but having at least a repository, you know, where we can actually place this stuff and people can refer to it. I think that's really important. And we'll talk more about that during the VSO update.
The uniqueness is, I'm fortunate because I get to play with the three supervisors. All right. We've asked before. Don't do much with the supervisor, don't.
Yes.
District. What, his name is District 1. But I know that Supervisor San Priento calls me. I know James calls me. Definitely Don Wagner, and so does Katrina. And if we're going to have some overlap, there's a lot now with the Be Well and the Health. There's a lot with the aging and seniors. There's a lot, with, especially with suicide. You know, there's a lot of functions that we're doing that the community is doing now has a veterans component to it, a veterans element. So I'm just saying, whoever your representatives or your supervisors, you may want to start talking to somebody in the office about it. The lead district director or something, because you know I get the calls and I'm there, but I know that information not even getting out to y'all.
Okay. Right. Well, and that's we're trying to solve is like collectively we have all of this like little pieces here and there.
Yeah.
But we want to find a way of making sure at least on our end, because we are supposed to be maintaining this list, whether it's through the collaborative or whatever that we find.
Right. Because and again, find out who that district director is or that key person there. Yeah, because I mean that could be another way to push this stuff out. Just a thought.
So I think
maybe you just want to communicate in a letter to the supervisor saying, could you please give us the key point of contact for your office?
Well, and I think that's probably it's incumbent upon me, which I have not done, is talk to, supervisors fully staff, being like, how do you want these events? So I think the way in which we communicate to the supervisors, in my mind, at least, is separate from where do we get the information to push the supervisors? And that's what we are trying to solve, with the having a database of some sort, right? Whether it's a shared document, whether it's a calendar, whatever, that every time we know a veterans event, we can go on Google, whatever, plug it in. And then when I go and I'm like, oh man, this month I need to give Supervisor Foley's office an update of events that I know on the calendar, I can open up that and see other things. Because even if it's not her district, if it's a big enough event, she might also want to be there.
Oh, yeah, because even on Friday, she was a little upset because the homeless, United Way had a big thing on the homelessness. She wasn't part of the district,
I didn't know about it.
I understand, but you're right. But you need to connect with somebody.
We're all responsible for trying to pull that information. But given that, with technology and the fact that we all have little pieces of the pie, I think it would make all of our jobs easier and help us support the supervisors better if we have this common source of information. So
we don't have a district two.
Which I think we also, part of the update that we need to include is there's no district two supervisor or appointed person, right?
Is that Sarmiento?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think he's getting close to appointing. And I know I spoke to Francisco, which is part of my update as well. Francisco was at the presentation and he joined us on stage because Supervisor Sarmiento invited him. He is the chair of the local United Mexican American Veterans Association. And he would like to present at the January meeting. I said I put the two of you in.
Yes.
I didn't know it was you, the new chair.
Sure.
That was interesting. I think I overheard him discussing that.
Francisco is in. I have to dig out of my email.
Another Marine.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly
what we need on this council.
Absolutely.
I didn't swing.
So
the California, we always that's really not a bad idea because I'll take you guys if you want to go.
That's
right.
So I think then the list of events is again something that the events committee can work on, right? And then the update is, this is what we've done in the past. This is what we've accomplished this year. Perhaps if there are things that, I don't know, we can't discuss at the council to do an event. So, maybe just this is what we've done, that's a report. And then the executive committee will work on it. And then, Michael, you could send a list.
Our next meeting is January.
January 10th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
Mr. Chair, we'll make sure that we have a nice little communications piece ready.
Because that's what we need to approve the report in January to push out by February to the Board of Supervisors. Yeah. So I want to have the draft report as an agendized item.
And I'll be in the audience for 5 months.
No, I'm saying for
you make the presentation.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Yes.
that's an outward.
I don't know. Does that work for you, Stephanie?
Yeah,
that's clear as mud.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. I have one other thing to add just to my report. It's just by way of update, we've already done all we could on LGBT discharge reform, but I just wanted to give a little context. I was on a call right before I came here of the LA LGBT veterans, and there are 14 veterans on the call, plus the young man who is the facilitator. And out of that, there were 9 people who had been dishonorably kicked out or given dishonorables or other bad conduct discharges because they were gay or trans. And it's interesting that the reform that the Defense Department just announced to very little fanfare, but did announce, wouldn't affect any of their discharges, not one. Because the people who were served under Don't Ask, Don't Tell don't qualify because they were kicked out under specious reasons, because they were basically being hunted because they were gay and they couldn't kick them out because they hadn't told or they hadn't been overt, but they were discovered. And then most of the folks served before Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I mean, it doesn't affect any of them. So that's why there's still a Senate bill, Senate Bill 6. And I spoke to staffer from Senator Caballero's office. It's still moving forward. So I just, you know, if you're out talking to somebody and they ever ask about that, there's still more work that needs to be done on that. Hopefully we're going to get it done. I don't have anything else except turn it over to Claudia.
Great, thank you. Sorry, I was trying to follow up on some of the items here. First, I'll start with, again, thanking you for your presence yesterday at the Board of Supervisors. It was a lovely presentation, so it's great to see everyone. Everyone looked wonderful. Eric sends his regards. Unfortunately, he's not in the office today. He's not really been filling up to par, so it finally caught up to him. So I want to give an update in terms of some of the items that we talked about last time. Eric, you had a question in terms of ad hoc next steps, in terms of the metrics ad hoc committee. So we're looking forward to getting together, maybe scheduling a meeting that we can like really kind of sit down and go over. Currently, what we report to CalPIT, what is capture, what does it look like, what is available to us currently, and then hopefully then identifying then what would be helpful in the future and kind of where we are in terms of like being able to capture data. If we are capturing, are we able to capture, what would that look like? With that, we have been doing, I believe during the last meeting, I updated everyone on some of the data capturing challenges with our appointment system. We've been having a little bit of a challenge with our vendor that manages and the oversight of the online appointments, where there were big gaps in between appointments, and we discovered that there were like dates, and sometimes in one occasion there was like a full week to where our veterans, if you were the public trying to log in and get one, even though behind the scenes, it's a whole week of open availability, it wouldn't come up. And so it would push to the further out. So we've done trying to do a little overhaul on that, because we definitely don't want it to keep pushing appointments further and further out. So we are looking at vendors, potential other vendors, costs, capabilities, updating, and also internally. So we are looking internally for us, what would it take for us to man that appointment center in-house and have a little bit more control? So we're moving in these three, really evaluating these three options and what make it a little bit more controllable for us, so that we can really triage our appointments and really reduce that time. So right now, I can't really say, hopefully by the next meeting, I'll have a little bit more updates, because we really have been spending a little more time on the internal option, only because the couple of quotes and conversations we've had with outside vendors, it's not cheap, it's a little bit costly. So, as you all probably already know, funding for VSO comes a lot from our general county dollars. So looking at, okay, where's our budget lie, and spending, you know, thousands of dollars on an appointment system, we really have to look at what's really truly available for us. So
this isn't a thing that you can address specifically, but the board can address in terms of asking for a need. And one thing that might be helpful in doing your research is finding out what's being done in LA, Riverside, and San Diego, where I think they've done a better job on the appointment schedule. That's been historically the case.
So definitely wanted to inform you of that, which is in conversations, one of the main reasons why even giving accurate data there, as we're going in, we're digging, we're finding we were finding some of those inconsistencies. So really focusing on taking a look at that. In terms of the VSO and its processes, definitely we've been spending a little bit more time, and I can definitely say Eric has been spending quite a bit of time in the office and manning the day-to-day operations and seeing a lot of appointments and walk-ins. We've had a good flow of some walk-ins coming our way, but we're recruiting for some new staff for veterans claims representatives. And so Eric has been spending quite a bit of time seeing appointments so that we keep the flow going and helping supporting our staff. So we hope that there will be a little bit of relief there as we extend offers to some new claims representatives and start the training process and onboarding on that.
Let me ask you a question, because I've had some, like I said, I've tried to do phone appointments and I've tried to do walk-ins. And again, you're right, the system is not reminding you, or there's a lack of connectivity with the claims representative. I just recently had a problem with the phone. Is it better for a veteran to do a walk-in appointment than even deal with the scheduling system? Because I've had nothing but problems. I've done it a couple times,
right,
but I've had nothing but problems.
There were issues. And part of those is because we've received feedback from our veterans coming in,
sure,
is letting us know that there was a glitch or the reminder, you know, a text message or email didn't go through. So then it alerted us, of course, of reaching out to the vendor, trying to figure out how soon can you fix that glitch. So it's just that glitches are not being fixed fast enough, or when something is fixed, something else is going.
And there's no feedback loop for someone personally to follow up, you know, and give the veteran a call, say, hey, someone's sick, or,
right,
you know, you've been moved, you know, farther down, whatever.
Yeah.
So if I was going to advise someone from VFW 1624, should I tell them, go, you need to walk in? Is that really the best way to do it?
It's no right or wrong. It's no easier or faster way. It can be a walk-in. Walk-ins always welcome an appointment, but definitely giving us a call, because then we have, if we get the call saying I need an appointment, we have the better control on this end,
okay,
to be able to schedule that appointment. Because we can look at, oh, wait, we just had some cancellations. We can see,
right,
you know, we can have
an actual personal
yeah,
contact and not relying on the automation is the way to do it.
Yeah. So to give you an example, when we realized that there were appointment reminders not going through as they should, like the automated ones, we started calling ourselves, reminding and letting them know you have an appointment. And we started discovering that because we had quite some no-shows with no notice. We're like, where are our appointments? They're not coming in. And not then realizing they didn't get a reminder. So we started doing some hands-on on that end so that we can remind our veterans of their appointments. So we continue to take on those efforts. But John, to answer your question, either or, it's good. But I know right now the online is a little bit of a challenge, and we want to get ahead of that sooner than later. So
while we're getting ahead of it, I'm wondering, you know, because I'm still looking at the website right now, mm-hmm, just make an appointment, book the link. It doesn't say, you know, it says you can walk in, or it says like during the hours below or by scheduling an appointment. You know, I'm wondering if you put, if there's some kind of disclaimer language or say something like call the office for an appointment, because while we're sorting out the booking software issues, you know, maybe even putting something like for urgent requests, walk in or call directly. Because someone who says, oh, I've got this, and now you're like, what if there's an appeal deadline that's going to expire and you're going to miss it? Or what if, you know, there are like real world implications, financial implications for veterans claims. And if they can't get, like I checked a couple months ago, and the first appointment I could get was in December. And if I had a deadline that was going to expire and I look at this and I'm like, oh shoot, the first appointment is December or January.
Just give up.
Yeah. So, you know, and like, you know, we might say, well, it's kind of common sense, right? Why wouldn't you just walk in and pick up the phone? A lot of the people that are seeking help may have other barriers that wouldn't make that necessarily the most common sense option or something that they would naturally do. So maybe having something, disclaimer language on the website that says for urgent matters, call us directly or walk in. And I think just having that like in red somewhere above would alert that. So I know if it's a non-urgent matter, hey, I'll book a line and show up when I show up, right? If it's my driver's license. Or, you know,
yeah, you know, it's good to talk to literally, you know, in the message, say, this is what an emergency is, like you have a deadline 30 days or something like
if you need urgent assistance and a deadline's about to expire or something like that. Yeah.
What if they call you? It's urgent.
What's that?
Pretty much if they call you, it's urgent.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well,
but I mean, if
no, they, you get a notice by the meeting.
Is this a standalone system or is this integrated with other systems? Yeah, so.
Right now, that is standalone. The only thing that it's the integration piece that we were trying to get it at is to get integrated to our staff's calendars, like directly, so that we can minimize the behind the scenes manual, like linking appointments. Because I have Stephen, I want you to have, you know, 6 appointments today, and we're doing that manually. So,
do you automatically assign person who's going to meet with them, or do they select the person from a list?
No, we assign them.
So it's automatically assigned.
So the public, for example, the veteran on the public end doesn't choose what staff, we will assign that. Because we have to look at if I have a staff member who's going to be out or is ill, you know, I have to account for it. Okay, it's available. But the current system right now is not designed that way to where we can have a little bit easier control. It's taking a long time to do these kinds of updates. So that's why we're looking at internally, how can we manage it better as opposed to us waiting on a secondary? Hey, can you provide this update for us? How long is it going to take to update?
Is it a contracting problem that you can't hold them accountable to meet the service level that you set?
We have had those discussions. So those discussions are underway because obviously it was a vendor that our county utilizes. And so they're not like the only players that are doing the service for us. It's at a county-wide level to where they provide services from an IT appointment session kind of standpoint.
Do you have firing ability or are you stuck with this vendor?
Oh, no, we have options.
Okay.
We have options. So obviously, before we say, oh, we're not going to use this, we got to have something to replace with, right? Because we definitely don't want to go back to manually doing all that, because that would just take a little bit.
But there are many professional services that you appoint and say, think every hair salon you've been to. So you have a lot of options of vendors to select from. And if you're not getting it, like, the answer is not to, you got to have something that's scalable.
Oh,
and a phone call would be great as a reminder on there. It's like an immediate fix, like, hey, we need the phone. But at the same time, like, you do need something that's scalable. And if you're not getting the performance and you set the service levels, it's a clear indication we need to try somebody else who will.
I like Stephanie's idea about benchmarking it with other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other systems. Yes, absolutely.
Servicing better.
Correct. And within our other county.
I know when we looked at this in 2018, mm-hmm. everybody else was a lot of same day service. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was just much better at all the neighboring counties. And yeah,
did you look into the actual systems they were using?
I didn't. I didn't.
Yeah, well, we were all on calls, right? Was that in? I'm trying to remember. We did calls with like San Diego, San Bernardino.
Yep.
Was that 2018?
No, that was 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did the same thing. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They
were all
not discuss the specifics of the system. But that's.
But that's why we appointed you, Eric.
Yeah, that's what we do. I'm going to make
tackles.
You know, and that's sort of what I was saying too. You know, like, I'm wondering what they're doing, because they're meeting their appointments faster. You know, they're getting to see more veterans for in-person complicated claims.
Thanks. I mean,
I know, for instance, our VSO did amazing work in simplifying and automating college fee waivers, and that's terrific.
And other VSOs, I know, like, were impressed and emulated you guys for that.
But let's see if we can't we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to find out what they're doing.
And we've been discussing like those 5 years.
Yeah. That's really impressive.
Well, it's my understanding, and Claudia, please correct, but we were looking at it and there was a time where the appointment backlog was crazy. And then we got that back down. And I think, was the new system part of that? Because now it seems like it has.
I think
it
was more about hiring because we had a number of vacancies.
Yeah.
I mean, for a long time, we didn't even have even before Elena.
Yeah.
That was pre-Elena. So we didn't have a VSO and there were a number of open claims reps for a long time. It was over a year.
Oh. And you guys had actually made significant progress, like closing that gap, and it seemed like for a while. And now it seems like the scheduling software or something is starting to, and that's kind of the point. It's not that, you know, we're here like trying to critique or anything else. It's just to catch it before it becomes, or to, you know, offer our assistance or whatever that's
for. Thank you.
And this is not against the office. It's a vendor that's not performing to standard.
Yeah.
So, and then do you have a rough budget annually of what you're paying this vendor, just in case I hear of other things that are options?
Get back to you.
Okay.
You don't want to give you inaccurate figures.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can I chime in on just a recommendation? So I was back about 4 months ago, and I asked, I was in the office, and I heard someone said that it's December, right? And it was about 4 months out. I was kind of, oh, that's how I became aware that there's a backlog of appointments. So one of the things that would be helpful, if you have to wait 4 months, if they were able to fill out in your waiting area, computer, they could actually go on to the VA website and do the initial intent to file. Well, then that's 4 months not wasted. You know what I mean? Because the claim will go back and forth.
4 months, almost, yeah.
Starts the clock.
So they don't lose anything. If you wait 4 months and then you sit down with them and say, oh, yeah, here, just fill out this intent to file, you just lost 4 months of pay.
But they're trying to do that with the PACT Act, trying to make sure people would hurry up and do that. So at least they have now a year to get this crap together.
Yeah. But also on the website that you have now, or you make an appointment, if you have a link that says fill out intent to file, and we know that that's the VA. It's not the Orange County Veteran Service Office. But at least if you get them to there and they start the process, they can have an argument.
Yeah.
And say, I may not have filled it out correctly, but that was my intent.
Put their flag in the stand.
Yeah.
That
seems like that would be
so in addition to that, and yes, Stephen, thank you, because then we're looking at actual processes of our appointments and how we triage and how we educate and how we get our veterans even prepared and a little bit more well informed even before they even come to us, right? To if you can do your own intent to file, we can start here and then better prepared. So we're looking at not only obviously revamping and updating our website and making that a lot user friendly, updating all the information, educating and doing that, but our outreach materials and providing a little bit more of education so that when our public and our veterans out there are sharing this and it gets out or we're doing outreaches, that individuals are a little bit more, okay, what is expected? How can I prepare? If I really do need to make an appointment or if I just want to walk in, I'm going to have, you know, ABC at least readily available. So we're definitely looking at that. I know Eric's twitching because we do have some things to address and things as, you know, to even train and regroup with our current staff and our processes to really kind of make them a little bit more efficient, not just internally, but most importantly, efficient so that when our veterans come, we are a little bit more well-informed. So of course, we're always going to get, you know, first time I am not aware and we're going to take our time to educate them on that and what services and benefits they can access and what's next. But the more we can educate prior to, engaging, the better.
It's upselling, right? Like every time I go to the nail salon, I'm like, no, I just want the basic. Are you sure? Are you sure?
I knew exactly how to feel.
So when I was in the VSO office for my driver's license, I was talking to another guy, Army vet, who's there for his driver's license. Mm-hmm. And he'd been, I'm just shooting stuff with him. Yeah. And so he's like, oh, I'm here for the driver's license. It's so cool. I get to live my driver's license and great. And then all of a sudden he's like, I said, what have you done today? And he was like, yeah, I just retired from my job. Yeah, I went straight from the Army to, and then I had my insurance paid by my job and stuff. And he was like, no, I'm out. I need to file a claim for disability. And I'm like, oh, how are you going to go about that? And he was like, oh, well, I talked to this guy and they basically take 3 months of your disability. And I was like, you know, this office does that, right? Yeah. And the guy was like, yeah. And I'm like, that guy walked out, right? Like with a cool driver's license emblem, but like then paid 3 months of his benefits to that just because he didn't know, right? And sometimes you do have to lead a horse to water.
Well, we're gonna do a website update, and again, I know the appointment system from an IT perspective probably has priority.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So in the meantime, is there any way to do slight updates of the current website?
Yeah, Yeah, definitely things that are definitely we don't want to miss. We really want individuals to know now as opposed to waiting for a big revamp. Absolutely, those kinds of things we definitely.
What is that process? Is there a process? Like a good example is OCVAT pictures. You know, I've been here for a year and a half. Is there a process for us to do just simple things on the website? Obviously, not dealing with services or the appointment systems, but just the landing page.
Yeah, and that is actually one area. There's a tab for the advisory council,
yeah.
And it has some of the information. Some have pictures, some don't. I think right now, not if I remember correctly. So those are all those areas that we want to look at.
Is there a process to make a request now as the communication chair?
Yeah.
Is there a process where I can get a photo and then give it to somebody and they can update it within a month?
We should have photos and bios and contact information.
What was the deal?
Why don't we do this? Why don't we at a January meeting come ready to take a picture? We take a picture right here.
So answer the question that would be if a discussion is as an advisory council, you're feeling like this, that would be something you're interested in doing that want to put a picture, then I can take that back and work with our communications. Yes, we do.
So you'd be the point of contact. Let me suggest this then. So as the communications chair,
yeah.
Why don't we plan on taking them? Trying to intuit what you're suggesting.
American flag right there.
Right, that we take pictures.
And
but then, why don't we, you and I, put it as the committee or heads together on what updates we would like to recommend.
Yeah.
And we can do it all at once to make it easier for staff.
And then the second part of that,
gotcha.
How long does it go? How long does it take to go up?
Yeah.
How long, Claudia, how long does it take to go up once we give you that information?
It depends because we have a very small unit here and they do it for the whole division. So it's looking
so
at.
Did you do it or does the county do it?
No, internally us.
Okay.
Under our division.
Okay.
Yeah. So if the only time we do reach out to our county executive office is if there is anything that has to do with the branding,
yeah,
that we have to get approvals, and of course that takes a little bit longer. But if it's just us internally, we're just updating a photo or contact, we can do that a little bit more efficiently here. So we'll work,
Right. We need to put that on the agenda,
other than that.
I don't agenda to show up and take pictures. I think that could just be an email. It's not a non-substantive thing. I think it would be.
We can just coordinate that.
Send an email to, or you can have her send it to, she's got that blank, right? Just send it to everyone, say, be prepared to show up to pictures. And then if you guys need. If you guys want to do bios or contact me information or anything else, then I think you can request that information directly. That's not a substantive issue where we're voting on that or anything else. Yeah, it's just getting, because I know when I was appointed, I had someone just reach out and I sent all that information to them. It wasn't like that. Let's discuss it before.
Other than that, just a quick little reminder. I know you were talking about events. Stephanie, I don't know if you wanted to you'll remind everyone of the event on Saturday.
I already mentioned it again.
And then tomorrow, there's the career fair. It is at District 5 in Laguna Hills. I believe I did mention it last time, but it's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's at the
yes. So that is happening. So
veterans get in early at 9 a.m., right?
Yes. Yes. Well, early access for our veterans. And that is all I have on the update.
Thank you.
And so sorry we badgered you so much for our appearance on call stands, but that was really helpful.
Yeah, thank you.
So I understand Alana is not available, so we'll move on. John, if you want to give a communications update.
I don't really have an update. A lot of the questions that I had from the last meeting were answered today, so I think I have a way forward, certainly with the website.
Yeah.
And then I'll obviously work with Bobby on a communication piece that we want to do for the forward to the update.
Mike? So I had the event thing to print out and give to you, but I realized the back page didn't print. So I will need to digitally send that out after this meeting so you have the full view on the committee report. Long story short, I don't think the consortium is really taking much action to be helpful on publishing these events. And so really the easiest path I see is just to understand legal perspective. Can we utilize the existing infrastructure that's there? We have events webpage that's already up. publish some of this information. I think that would be the easiest way. If you type in Orange County Veteran Events, that's the site it goes to. It's number one hit. So your average person is going to use that same probably methodology if they were trying to find better events in Orange County. So I think that's the easiest path forward to utilize the existing infrastructure, but it would just be to create the workflow. How do we push that information to get published?
In the meantime, can we do like a Google? I mean, all this stuff is confidential. Can we do like a shared spreadsheet or document between events on it, just between the council members that we can start?
We can do it definitely between us, just to be able to populate it as you have things. And then it can be, you know, I can be the clearinghouse for actually submitting it for whoever your webmaster is to put that up.
I'm a little confused because my understanding was we had sort of decided it's very difficult for us to publish a calendar because the restrictions on what the county as a government agency can publish. That's the problem. Most of the events are things that we couldn't publish. That's why we were suggesting the idea of reporting county events to the Orange County Collaborative, which is a government agency, but has a lot more freedom. And then we could link to that calendar. I saw a lot of heads nodding, but
The collaborative is just, we've tried for, I guess, 2 months now, and they're not really taking any action to get it done. And so I don't see it happening within the next month.
Who are you talking
sitting
to
next to the collaborative?
No, you're not. Oh, that's right.
Who are you talking to?
You just replied again today.
Yeah, who? Because maybe it's a...
Ben Gales.
He's part of the collaborative, but
and an advocate.
He's the link.
Do you have personal connections with anyone that maybe we can talk offline to?
Let's you and I talk about that afterwards, and I'll see.
Okay. But the other thing too about pass the stuff out on the internet. As long as we're not voting on something, it's not something we're going to be voting on. It has something to do with the public. It shouldn't be a problem. But anyway, be that as
there are. I know that there are legal issues.
Yeah,
it can be seen as government endorsement of things like your CO sending out a list of events in town.
On the events page.
I can talk to the attorney about it and say, can we do it? And I like again, these are two issues. Now, I am not county counsel. but I think again, the two separate issues, right? Is what we need a list of internal things for us to be able to do, because there's stuff that we even want to notify each other about and maybe go through that we don't necessarily want to publish. Right. Like, endorsement or not. And then I think I see that as a separate issue versus, OK, then how do we get this information right out to the public or out to the board of supervisors? And what are
the issues? Let me and the chair of the communications committee come up with an idea.
I'll bring you an internal solution, and then we'll engage with general counsel to find out what our actual options are, and then we'll re-engage with the collaborative.
And that's why I said, like, maybe kind of the difference between events and communication. Events is compiling like the actual list, and then communications, okay, but how are we getting how and what information are we getting out to the public?
Yeah, I always feel comfortable when I get a PDF from the county and I can forward it.
Yeah.
You know, but I know that's not inclusive of everything that's going
on. Well, no. And then there's stuff like that. Like I said, I mean, I had no idea about the United Way stuff that was happening in the district, and then my supervisor didn't know about it. But, you know, like, I mean, we got to.
That's a Kelsey problem.
But that's.
That's one of the reasons, like, we should do our best to be in the know. And I think just even having a Google Doc just with it, that's.
There is a county process, and yes, to just confirm, we have to be the county policies that we have to be very careful because we don't know, like, how do we vet that this information or where it's coming from?
If there's something at the VFW and there's drinking involved and somebody falls down and gets assaulted, then all of those county endorsed thing in the county's life. Well, I mean, that's what the county doesn't sit there and say, like, hey, like, I've been told, I know.
But so. And I will tell you, it's the same at this, like, I work for the state now.
Yeah,
I have to be very careful on what I just even put on the Facebook page for Heroes.
Certainly starting with the internal thing, and then we can figure out what we need.
Okay. So I'm assuming that Eric, Steve doesn't have anything.
Right. No, first time I talked to Claudia was yesterday. Yeah. I had sent you an email, didn't get a response, but I talked to Claudia yesterday to get back. So, and then with that. That's my next
page.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Hey, happy thank you. Same to you all. And
happy birthday.
Happy holiday. Thank you. And thank you. Happy birthday, all the Greens. And for those who are going to be there on Saturday, we'll see you at Heroes Hall.
So just finish up the round. Start with our new vice chair.
What was the question?
Oh, it's just comments.
Yes, comments. I'm looking forward to. Do we have anything as far as metrics to start? Because I'm gonna reach out and start with a speech from each of the supervisors and that nice
black so,
and I'm gonna
get big voice. Black. I mean, that's
oh, right. Yeah, we have.
What do we have?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it's reporting out monthly.
Right. What we share
community
public.
And
yeah.
Oh, well, this is start.
This one is a special edition, of course, it's of the Veterans Choice Award.
Yeah, because it's two pages.
But normally it's a one page.
Thank you, everyone. Excited to serve as chair starting next meeting. Supervisor Katrina Foley is having her 5th District Veterans of the Year at the Dana Point Community House, 24642 San Juan Avenue in Dana Point, right in my backyard.
Yeah, that's 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it starts at 6:30. Show up early if you'd like, but I think the drum and bugle corps is going to be the focus of the contributions, which I'm excited to learn about because I have very little knowledge about them. So,
oh, guard.
Happy birthday, Marines.
Y'all. Avi, just a point of information in regards to the year-end report. It's also, if there's one or two, maybe three, no more than three burning issues that we feel that we need to talk about down the road that we should bring up to the supervisors because it may pop up and we should put that in a report. So that way, if it does pop up, they can reach out. And that has happened. And I'll say that because that's how we got the county involved with the cemetery and some other stuff.
So then would the appropriate way to be, because I'm mindful of the Brown Act, so maybe if you guys see any issues you would like included on that, you can send them to me. We won't discuss them, but I can put them as edits in sections that we can either vote like a
sure.
Or just,
like, just it's just an opportunity
yeah.
For this.
No, it's okay. A good idea.
Right.
Yeah, good idea.
Just happy Veterans Day.
It's happy birthday.
Forward. Hopefully, y'all go to some good things on Veterans Day. So that's it. Thank you.
The only thing for me is maybe as an agenda item for January, take a look at what we actually want to get done for the year and maybe set a couple clear goals that we can get together in that November meeting and say, did we finish what we say we were going to do or not? And it might take, January and February to do that, but it'd be nice to have some clear metrics of what we're trying to accomplish.
I'm going to focus on the updates for the landing page and communication and work with Bobby on the report.
Yeah.
So, but happy Veterans Day.
Thanks, so I, Kevin Councilman, actually set aside the camera for any time, any part of the
day.
That can be taken the first one just to give us some time to set the schedule.
That's a really good idea.
I'm going to put Bray up. It's going to take January 10th, and I'll make sure I square that.
Should we do the next one instead of January? Should we just come to the meeting and get them all done before? I mean, I'm just saying, but for the
so people. We need to plan.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, we need to have one meeting under our belt so we know what we're doing.
Well, and I think the important thing is my hope is to show up January with a list of meetings and that we take potential, and then we've got to work because they've got to support it. So getting 2 months to be able to support it, I think, is reasonable.
Yeah.
But we just want to make sure that everything is on the.
And they get a post.
So at the minimum, we can think about setting that one as the first one if there's somehow confusion over the rest of them or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
It's a great idea. I just think we just need to get it in the
program. Great. I don't have anything
else. I don't think anybody else does. Call it adjourned.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.